So.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio. And, man, we've got a pretty good show for you. We're going to spend a lot of time on local with you tonight. We're going to introduce a new co-host to you. And first things first, I owe everybody a big apology. Yes, that's right, an apology from Ed Springsteen and Louisville Politics and MVM. Last week, apparently, there was not a show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I owe you guys an apology. I became quite ill suddenly Friday and ended up in the hospital for the weekend. And apparently there was some miscommunication, so nobody knew that they had to host a show and cover for Ed. So I wanted you guys to know that. We apologize for any inconvenience. We will not have that happen again. And one of the ways we're not going to have that happen again is we're bringing to you guys a new co-host tonight. In addition to Ed Martin, Dale Gillespie, and Ken Mulman, we are adding one of my favorite people. You guys may recognize him. He's like a carbon copy of me on steroids. But his name is John. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm here.
Let's see if your mic is on there. Okay. And as always, Ed Martin. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Do I want to know John's last name?
Yeah, his last name. You know his last name. Same as mine, baby.
Cornholio.
Yeah.
Can you, dear God. He's not just a carbon copy. He's a clone.
Oh, I know. On steroids.
I'm telling you. It's like, oh, God have mercy. It's like, yeah, okay. People were wondering, yes, Ed Springsteen is reproducing.
Yeah. Twice that I know of.
I've tried to prove I was developed in a lab, but nothing's come about it yet.
Can you hear his mic?
Yep, Ed? I hear.
Okay, because I'm not getting him through my headphones. That's why I was asking. We're doing a little bit different setup tonight, adding a new mic, and this kind of things get used to him. So as long as you guys can hear him, everything's okay. I tell you, John has actually been behind the scenes for a couple of years now. And since this recent health scare last Friday, we decided it was time to put him up front and center. So you've got somebody to talk to on Mondays and Tuesdays, man, so we don't have that like we did last week. I still don't know what happened, and I apologize, but we'll figure it out and get it worked out. In the meantime, we have got all kinds of things, Ed. I tell you, you know, it's hard being out of the loop for a week because there's always so many things to cover each and every night. And, you know, one of the biggest things, you know, this Walmart story downtown is not going to go away, and it keeps growing and growing and growing because of this nut job Attica Scott who wants no jobs whatsoever. And interestingly enough, Jessica Green, The former late councilwoman Judy Green's daughter is running as an independent against Attica Metro Council District 1. It's fascinating. She's not running as an independent. She's actually running as a Democrat. They've just got it printed wrong in the WFPL story I was using as a source. But it is fascinating because we know Attica Scott has already went on record saying she won't accept a Walmart unless they, A, unionize, B, pay the employees what she tells them they should pay them, and C, only hires people from her neighborhood. So, you know, I would tell Attica Scott to go put out about $100 million and build her own store under those demands. But, you know, but Jessica Green actually is going in the opposite direction. The problem I've got with the Jessica Green going in the opposite direction is, quite frankly, she's Judy Green's daughter. She's a racist, and there's no doubt about that. She went after me on a racist attack after her mom was charged because of my ethics, my charges against her. And she's in Kevin Cosby's pocket. So what in the world is going to happen with District 1 either way, Ed?
Well, you know, I agree. First thing, of course, I could tell, you know, we definitely come from the same side of the aisle when it comes to people like Attica Scott, who doesn't do the business thing, you know, has been on the, in one form or another, on the public dole for forever and a day, telling Walmart, you know, this is how it's going to be. And that's often, you've seen it many a time. That's my comeback. It's like, well, get your checkbook out, big shot. Yeah, let's see you do it. So I'm all with you there. As far as it goes, I mean,
yeah.
I'm sort of with you on the Judy Green, the daughter thing, and even with the Kevin Cosby, you know, that connection. But again, what it comes down to is District 1, and the score is not even in District 1, but I'm sort of a get a problem, identify a problem, and fix a problem kind of guy, and then move on to the next problem. There is a problem in West Louisville and in central downtown in some cases. And, you know, you'll hear it, whether they call them food deserts or you know, the lack of low-skilled jobs. I'm sorry, there's a lot of low-skilled people. You know, let's get this addressed. Attica Scott's either got to come around or she's going to be anti-business and her idea of urban renewal is bulldozing houses, then she needs to go.
Well, she definitely
now,
needs
to go. I'd like to see somebody a little, you know, wasn't in Kevin Cosby's pocket and didn't have a last name Green. But given the lesser of two evils, we've got an obstructionist in some of the poorest zip codes in the city.
Well, I agree with
that.
Well, I agree with you on that. And I tell you, the biggest problem for me is the Cosby angle. I want Attica Scott gone for sure. No doubt about it. I wish they had an independent down in District 1 that had the courage to step up and run and give people a real choice. Because for me, Attica Scott is the worst of the two choices that are given. But, you know, the Greens, man, I mean, Kevin Cosby was interfering in Judy Green's council office during the whole investigation, during everything that was going on. He had his people pulling all the strings, and it's the same thing that's going to be with Jessica. My concern, as always, has been the taxpayers and the citizens of Louisville as a whole. And I just don't like that. But in this case, I think I agree with you. Jessica might be the lesser two evils. But it's interesting, though, and if you want a big reason why or a big clue that Kevin Cosby is involved in this whole deal, just go listen to WLOU and Devon Holt. Devon Holt is one of their personalities over at WLOU. He's about as far up Kevin Cosby's butt as you can get. And, you know, and he's even out there saying, you know, that this isn't right, that he is going out. He goes public and says that, I see public officials who represent West Louisville out on picket lines picketing against the development in their own communities that their constituents would benefit from. And that, to me, is just treason. And my hope is we vote and change the leadership in that community. So, you know, there's no doubt Devon Holt, Kevin Cosby are the ones who put Jessica Green up to it. But it's going to be interesting going forward. Johnny, what do you think about this whole Walmart situation? Should a council member tell people how much they should actually pay for jobs? Or is that the private market?
When it comes to Walmart, I'm a little bit torn on this because, honestly, I would love to see the end of Walmart as we know it. I would love to see the Waltons and their monopoly on pretty much everybody's money because everybody has to shop at Walmart. You don't buy products that last 20 years anymore. You buy something that lasts for 5 days and breaks, and you replace it by going back to Walmart. And I don't like the trend that started. On the flip side, I am pro-union, period, the end. I like to see businesses that unionize, but I like to see the people do it. It should never be forced on anybody. It should never be a thing where somebody steps in and says, hey, we're making you a union. Well, no, because a union decision is where 51% of people get together and they decide that they're a union.
So basically, you're with us then, I mean, as far as that point is concerned, right?
Essentially, yeah. I don't think that the government's involved in enough as it is, and all it will turn into is a profit-for-government type situation, as it is in so many other cases. They'll find a way to tax it. They'll find a way to use it to make themselves more money, and that's just the way of the world in 2014.
Well, I kind of agree with that, too. I tell you, Ed, you know, it is fascinating, though, because the Walmart, here's the whole funny thing about the whole deal. We've been talking about this for months, but Walmart has never confirmed nor denied that they're the ones that are interested in that property at 18th and Broadway, and yet it's a big campaign issue for District 1 when that location isn't even in District 1. So Attica Scott made this an issue in somebody else's district. What sense does that make on a campaign level?
Well, she's an activist, you know, and even though, and to a degree, as I was kicking around the possibility of a council run, you don't just, you know, the line doesn't end at your district, and commerce moves back and forth. There's ends of town, and I think council members are. I think if it's not in your district, you absolutely have input because it affects your district. People from your district are going to get jobs there. People from your district are not going to have to ride the bus an hour and a half to work in a job out in Middletown in Walmart. People in your district are not going to have to ride the bus however far to, you know, to pay a reasonable price for a bag of apples or something. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, I absolutely think it. I wish the guys in District 19 would weigh in, like Jerry Miller, and say, hey, look, we got a Walmart in our district, and guess what? It doesn't suck. Matter of fact, a lot of people buy a lot of stuff there. I buy a lot of stuff there. I get my oil changed there, you know? I buy batteries. I buy produce. I buy food. I buy milk. It's, you know, I know people don't like it sometimes on the labor end, like mm-hmm. And I get that, I do. But by the same token, especially, you know, you don't have jobs. They're staring at a vacant lot where there used to be a building and jobs, you know. So what are your options? Crack concrete and weeds or a store where people can pay a fair price, a good price for, you know, things like, oh, I don't know, food? So I say, bring it on in, you know. It's like, you know, it's like, really, the councilmen are going to set the prevailing wage or whatever? It's like, okay, you know, Kroger doesn't pay that well. So what, if Kroger wants to locate another store down there, you're going to bust their balls? You know, when does it stop when politicians who don't employ people and don't make money and don't deliver products, you know, they can deliver services, but not products, but when do they start calling the shot?
It's interesting that you bring up Kroger because, you know, that's actually true. Kroger's people start out somewhere around $8 an hour, which is about Walmart style, you know, and they are unionized. So, you know, if for a council person or any political elected representative to sit here and tell a business, well, okay, you're going to pay this much, you're going to hire people only from here, and you're going to unionize too, it's a farce because you can't do it both ways. And that's a like that. The only thing Attica Scott wants is what's best for Attica Scott. She doesn't care about that district. Attica Scott's making more money every year being an elected Metro Council person than she's probably made in her entire life going out in hell. So, you know, she's, as far as I'm concerned, she's worthless. But I don't like the Kevin Cosby influence that's going to come with Jessica Green. But unfortunately, that may be the lesser two evils. Let's move on a little bit, though, because we've got other things going on here. A lot of people haven't been talking about this story. We mentioned it before I got sick. But anyway, former Commonwealth attorney Dave Stengel, the same guy who refused to charge his good friend and banker, Jim King, with any charges and put him in jail at that time. You got run out of Commonwealth Attorney's Office. Went to his good friend, Jack Conway, who he helped cover his brother, Matt Conway's, drug problems. And now has signed up to run in the 29th District, Kentucky State House, against one of the best in the House, in my opinion, Kevin Bratcher. Any comments?
Not much else than good luck against Bratcher.
I've
met Kevin, and actually, Kevin Bratcher has earned my respect because he and I don't agree on everything, but he has never been anything but cordial and patient and informative. I mean, you know, I think, and I actually told him that. I met him a week ago. I said, hey, we don't agree on everything, but it's, I said, thank you. It's the discussions we've had have been good. So, you know, if not in my district, but if there's anything I could do to help Bratcher, like I say, he's a stand-up guy, whether you agree with him or not, and that's rare.
That's what I was going to say. Bratcher don't go behind your back. He doesn't play the games. He just puts it out there, deal with it, and he is a stand-up guy. I just find it interesting that we got a shady guy like Dave Stengel going out there trying to challenge him. John, go ahead.
Well, I just want to interject and say that I'm not as shocked as most people are when I see these kind of guys run for office. I'm really not, because you have to look at the entirety of our state Congress, even on a national level, but more focusing on a local level. Who's going to run against you? Another crooked guy with as much money as you. You know, I mean, you've got so much money in politics that nowadays these guys who added the wrong guy on the back or had some bad backroom, God knows when back in the day, it's not as big a deal because the other side has the same problem. You know,
they say back in the day they're doing those deals as we speak. So
that's my point, though. It's there's so much of it that at the end of the day, these guys eventually take a step back, and they've gotten away with it for so long that they're just thinking, who's going to do anything about it? Who is really going to do anything about it? Why does it matter? So I might as well throw my hat in the ring and see if I can get along with doing more.
Dave Stengel owes everybody everything. He is has never been nothing more than a political hack. I don't care if he is a former Commonwealth attorney. He isn't an attorney at all. You know, he can sue me. He can do what he wants. I don't care. But he has not done his job as a Commonwealth attorney. When you go out there and you cover one of your citizens, Conway, because he's the Attorney General's brother, I've got a major problem with that. When you ignore true illegal violations that should have held a public official accountable, because that official owns a $500,000 mortgage on your property, and you don't want to do your job, then you got a problem with me. Now, State House makes no sense.
Well, I would actually, you know, and like you say, I'm the anti-conspiracy guy, but I would say you get a guy like Stengel, who, if he gets in, you know, if he gets into the State House, is could possibly be positioning himself for, you know, a judgeship or something, sort of like the David Williams things happen. But if not, then you got to look at the pension picture. It's based on your high 3 or high 5 years of earnings as a state employee. So he's got those under his belt. Now he's ready to slip it into cruise control, work a part-time job as a freshman representative, you know, for a few terms. And it's like a vacation, but it counts towards his pension.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how he thinks. I mean, he's being paid 6 figures by Jack Conway. Of course, Jack Conway is termed out, so when he's done, he's done. And maybe that's what he's trying to do, because I don't see how he's helping his pension. I mean, he's making 6 figures with Jack. He was making 6 figures as a Commonwealth attorney. You know, to go down to a lowly position, make $25,000 a year, he'll suck up every dime he can, lying about being at meetings and stuff, and maybe get 30, 35. You know, I don't see how it helps his pension, but hey, what do I know, right?
It depends on that. You have to log a number of years. Now, I don't know how many Stengel's got in, if he's got enough to pull a full ride on the pension, but if he doesn't, then this is an easy way to rack the years up at, you know, on a nice slow burn where you don't have to show up for work every day, 365, you know.
Oh, yeah, that could be it, too. In the meantime, one of the stories that I'm really watching closely, and I tell you, I want to know who figures out all these polls and what kind of polling they're doing, because according to a Courier-Journal article from yesterday, they put out an article that said most Kentuckians favor giving local communities the option to raise their own sales tax. for a limited time to pay for specific projects such as roads or libraries. Now, this is according to the Courier-Journal and the Bluegrass poll. You know, they said this was conducted by Survey USA for the Courier, WHAS, Lexington Herald Leader, and WKYT-TV in Lexington, and that 60% of the people actually want to have the option to raise the sales tax. So they want this crap, this local option sales tax. And now the problem I've got is, you know, I know quite a few people. I know at least as many as they surveyed, somewhere around 1,000. You do. Even John next to me does. We know everybody else does. I can't definitively sit here and agree with anything that they're trying to sell us. I haven't found 10 people that say that we should go ahead and have a local option sales tax so they can take more money out of our pocket. Have you?
Well, they didn't call me. I can't tell you that. I know of no one. And but, you know, if had they called me, I'd probably say it was a go. And we've talked about that before, but part of the issue with me is that this, when you campaign and when they lobby or when they market or advertise for this local option sales tax, it has to be done almost, in my mind, like the equal access laws. You know, if you're gonna spend X amount of public dollars trying to market it, then the other side should get a similar amount of money, whether public or whatever, or airtime. They should get a similar amount, sort of like the library tax. Remember how lopsided that was?
All these
public officials using public time sitting there pushing it, and it still failed. But I think as long as it's an even, you know, that the lobbying and the campaigning for it is even, put it up for a vote. I am so looking forward to telling you to shove it.
Well, I hear you. Go ahead, John.
Here's the thing, and this is where society on the whole needs to start paying more attention to what they're being told. In polls like this especially, what ends up happening is they're going to spend X amount of dollars out of the tax pool on the things that they want. If the past two decades have shown us anything in the city and in the state at least, they're going to blow the tax dollars on what they want to blow anyway, okay? What they end up doing with these kind of polls is they give people the illusion of a choice. They tell people, hey, it's going to be your choice whether you want to raise the taxes or not. No, it really won't be. They'll find a way to get their money. They're going to get their money. The problem is they have to convince people that it's a good idea to allow them permission to get their money. And what better way to do that than to convince them that you're giving them a choice? And that's exactly what they do right here. They're telling them, congratulations, we're going to put the choice in your hands, how much money you want us to tax you. And it's a lot.
Well, this is a bold-faced lie. And we found that out with the library tax. All the polling they told us said the library tax was going to pass, until one small thing happened. You had Chris Steeneman, who went out and spent his own money to air commercials telling people the truth about it. And then you had the grassroots activists like me, Paul Hossie, and a whole host of other people I can't even name. They were going out door-to-door and informing people of the truth and showing them the other side. And you're right, the library tax failed miserably. But all the way up until the vote itself, 60 and 70% of the people actually approved it. And what's really funny with this story, though, I got to point this out, because what's really funny with this story is the CJ is pointing out that, you know, last year in February 2013, exactly 1 year ago, 72% of the people surveyed supported this amendment, and now it's down to 60%. So I think they're already setting up, knowing that this is going to be a losing battle. They're just trying to put pressure on the legislature to pass it anyway. It's just totally fascinating how they play this game. Go ahead.
Well, no, it kills me that we pay them to waste our time. they don't mind putting up bills like this again and again and again. They voted federally to defund ACORN 13 times after it was already defunded. I mean, it was like the scene off Super Troopers. We're already defunded. We can't defund anymore, sir. I mean, it was ridiculous that they kept wasting time. But they get paid regardless. It's like a guy in the stock market who invests your money. He's going to get his cut. You know, he's less apt to be concerned about you in the way that the markets are set up today. And it's the same with every one of these legislators, anybody in Congress. They know that they're going to get their cut, so it doesn't matter if they waste the time. It really does it to them. They can keep putting it up for a revote.
I can't believe I actually have a mid-20s guy sitting here talking to me and using the Super Troopers as a quote. Talk about feeling old. But I'll tell you what I'm feeling right now, folks. We've got to take our first break of the night. We're going to take that real quick, get back. We're going to get to a whole host of things. You know, Ed, I am so sick of snow, and I'm a snow lover. I can't even talk straight. But we'll get into that more when we get back in. You listen to the Ed Spranger Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound in...
Regular listeners, you know the game. The numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, just hit that little number one on your dial pad. We'll bring you on air just as soon as we can. You know, and as always, we appreciate you guys in the queue. It's always a bunch of you listening, and it makes us tingly inside. So we appreciate it. Anyway, those are the numbers. That's the game. Let's move on. We have got some problems, I guess, here in Kentucky. We're not used to all of this continuous snow, if you will. Apparently, the winter season has really hurt the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. They're trying to figure out what to do because their salt is just about gone. Typically, we'll go through about 250,000 tons of salt a year at most. We've already spread over 300,000 tons. And we're having a problem getting any more to refill the barriers there. So they're going to basically start plowing more and using less salt on the roads. Good idea, bad idea, I don't know. But, you know, if you can't get salt, we better conserve what we got. But, you know, and I mentioned that because last night we got a little bit of a dusting, and there's still so much snow and stuff in the neighborhoods that they actually canceled JCPS school again today. These kids might be there all the way through the end of July and take a two-week vacation before they start next year. I don't know. We'll find out. But anyway, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I tell you, John, here's one I know you're going to love. This story I know you're going to love.
Oh,
and oh yeah. Ed Martin will be back in a minute, by the way, folks. But I tell you, you know, I was arrested in July of 2012. It was an illegal arrest. They ended up dropping the case, but it took them a year to do it. And then we ended up mediating and settling out of court. But the one thing that was really scary at that time was as I was being arrested, I thought I was having a heart attack. It was that bad. We didn't know if it was heart attack or anxiety. But the cop didn't care. The cop didn't care. Officer Dustin Hinkey and Officer Brandon Wood didn't care. They threw me in a car, took me down to corrections. Never bothered to tell the corrections people the distress I was in. I told the corrections people when they brought me in, I need to see a doctor or a nurse immediately, and told them, you know, I was having problems breathing, the chest pains, all of that stuff. They didn't do anything either. They left me sitting for 2 hours until they finally put me through the processing where I got to see whatever this nurse was who worked for Corizon, which was their independent contractor. Anyway, you know, for 2 hours there, I could have died. When they finally took my blood pressure that night, it was 190 over 100, 110. So there was obvious cardiac distress, and nothing was done. Why is that a story now? Because WPRB put out in their Sunday news yesterday, they have finally concluded an independent investigation that the two women that died in Louisville Metro Corrections in 2012 all died. They didn't have to. Every one of those deaths could have been prevented, but due to jail, that's what
they've done. They have this all the time where somebody that has medications that they need to take, for instance, where they take them from you when you first get processed, and if you need them, oh, well, you're going to wait for it, and they don't care what it is. A lot of the times they do that. And when it comes to medical care in a prison, all right, I'm just going to point this out about the prison systems, the way that they're set up. They're set up in such a way, they're obviously designed for profit, but it's so bad that they set up a contract wherein the government has to fill the prison. They have to fill the prison to fill the pay the private contractors, regardless of private contractors getting paid, whether the prison's filled or not. They have to buy every single cell in the prison, essentially. They do this in a lot of cases, and then they're allowed to also do private contracting when it comes to their medical staff. When you have people who are they're in the business of essentially putting people in a cage and getting paid for it, do you really trust them to make a decision on who their independent care is, who the medical professionals are that take care of these guys? I mean, it's an obvious thing to me. Maybe I'm just, you know, more liberal than some people on that, but it's an obvious thing to me that when you have people getting paid to imprison people who are profiting from this, those are not the type of people that you want to make judgments on health care for these guys.
Well, and that's the whole thing. And, you know, just to give you a few cases here, you know, a lady by the name of LaKenya Porter, she had congestive heart disease. She couldn't even stand up when they got to prison. Her legs were swollen so bad she was, and I'm trying not to be gross here, folks, but she was oozing a yellowish fluid from her legs. She couldn't stand up. What did they do? Well, they decided the best thing to do with Miss Porter was go ahead and sit her in a chair, put her legs up on a daggone cart, on milk crates, and push her across the floor and went fingerprinted and booked and then throw her into jail. This is a clearly obvious medical condition, you know, and the Metro Corrections nurse clearly remembers Porter telling her, I feel like I'm getting ready to die. Please don't let me die in jail. And they did it anyway. You know, she had no care while she was there, and she was only there 27 hours. That's disturbing.
Well, that's just, if you've been arrested, you're automatically a criminal. If you're a criminal, you're automatically guilty. And if you're guilty, then nobody believes anything you say, right? That's how it works
well,
now?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, it's like me. I didn't do anything wrong, and they took me to jail anyway. You know, and it took 2 hours to even think about being seen by the processing nurse. And the first thing they did was take my blood pressure and say, oh, my God, hand me a cup, told me to walk to the water fountain, which is a few feet away, and come right back. They gave me a pill. I still to this day don't know what it was. They gave me a pill and then sent me on back to the daggone holding center. You know, so that's the kind of stuff we get into. Let's go to the phones real quick. Looks like we've got our 805 number. How are you?
Hey, Ed. How goes it?
Hey, Mayo. How are you, sir? Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Pretty good. No, just, you know, we're saying what you had to go through. What that lady had to go through is a joke. I mean, you get booked and that can happen, but yet, the case you and I talked about, the one guy, he's been on hormone therapy somewhere up in New Hampshire or Connecticut, and now he's wanting the state to pay for his sex change operation, and
right.
He killed, what, is a girl and a child, you know, a mother and child, and he's been in prison for 10, 12 years, and he might get the operation. I mean, to me, that is, you know, the ultimate irony or poke in the eye or whatever, you know, the taxpayer dollars being wasted.
Did he give the reasoning for why he wanted the operation?
Didn't say. He just said he's been a female trapped in a male's body for, you know, don't know how long.
I will say this right now on the national level. There's a lot of things going on in the LGBT community, and I have to say this, and I hope I don't upset anybody. I really don't want to say this. I have, you know, gay friends, bisexual friends, all that. It's not a problem to me in any way. I don't. It doesn't bother me. I'm not upset by it. The thing that gets me is the automatic acceptance that people have to have. To as if to ask a question about it is automatically insulting. When you ask how what it was like to go through it, you looked at the Piers Morgan interview. I don't know if you saw that on CNN, where he interviewed the same situation, a woman who was previously a man. And he was just trying to find out what it was like, you know, because she was trying to put a book out. He wanted to know her personal information. And anything personal he asked her was off base. Just how dare you, you know, how dare you put me on the spot. Well, we don't know about this, you know. And when you have somebody that's in prison, that's what's going on. Because of the hype and everything else, they're trying to act like it's an acceptable thing to make a request. Like, it's not. It's in no way. What business do you have in jail, if you're in prison for however long, to say, oh, I want the state to pay for my sex change? It's not even a question. No, I don't know how this has got any momentum. I don't know how it's gotten any attention. I mean, to me, this would be something somebody would joke about, and the warden would say, you know, that's funny, and move on. So, I mean, I understand why you'd be upset about that. For this to be even taken seriously to me, I don't have all the details. You said you're not sure the reason.
Well, the state is part of his medical care, you know, by the state constitution contract with the prison or whatever. He's been getting hormone therapy for 5 or 8 years. So my question is if they do go ahead somehow, you know, the leftist getting this surgery and he becomes a woman, you know, does he stay in the man's prison, or does he go to a woman's prison, or do we have a new type of prison for LGBT?
I'm curious if I can get myself arrested, if they'll pay for my penis enlargement. I wonder if that's next on the list. If you just get yourself arrested for a couple weeks and have them pay for that, let's do it.
Yeah,
let's,
you were arrested because you got depressed. You had a small penis, so you want to have your large penis, and then you ain't got to worry
about
that.
That way, I don't carry a gun and go crazy on people.
Yeah,
because
that way,
my penis would be large enough.
Your self esteem, for example, would be enhanced. Yeah,
not even, you know, prison, but what is it? The old naval ordnance. I mean, supposedly there was a person out there who had a sex change, and they were like, "Fine, okay, go ahead." Their health care covered part of it, but when they came back, they wanted to have their own separate restrooms throughout the facility.
No.
Because the women employees didn't want them in the women's bathroom, and the men's employees didn't want them in the men's restroom.
See, that's where we've gone so far astray on political correctness. It's unreal. It's like we have to appease or pay for anything and everything anybody wants. You know, if you're in jail and you're going to be there for life for whatever reason, I don't care if you're in jail, period. Why should a taxpayer pay for the sex change? That is beyond reason to me. It's not like you go out and have sexual relations because you're in jail. If you're going to have sexual relations in jail, hey, you know what? That's illegal, but, hey, we don't know nothing, right? Ed Martin, go ahead.
Well, I'm almost regretting having dialed back in. I'm thinking that when I left, Ed was talking about his prison, and when I called back in, Ed, we're talking about sex changes. So what the hell happened to you when you were in jail, Ed?
So we got you excited with that penis enlargement talk, huh? Go ahead.
No, I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, John's letting us know a little too much. Like, so what you're saying is you need one of those, huh, John? Okay. Oftentimes is the case, and it I think it's part of political correctness. But I'm not in a position to criticize or tell a doctor he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. But in a lot of cases, a lot of times what you get here is you get one or two shrinks or somebody like that steps up, and because they have a doctor or a PhD next to their name, we give them instant credibility. It's like, well, this man needs a sex change or this woman needs a sex change. You know, this is the root of her, they're causing them severe anxiety. It's like, yeah, well, hey, guess what? You're a doctor, and you're billing the state, you know, assholes over elbows as far as money goes. Yeah, if I were you, I'd keep milking that cow too. But just because you got a degree does not mean you have the authority to tell all the taxpayers, hey, guess what, $250,000 surgery is on you because I think they need it.
Well, I just want to point. I've got to point out two things here real quickly, okay? If it comes down to the penis enlargement, you're milking the bull, not the cow. Let's get that out of the way, because you're not going to spend a lot of time on that. And, you know, I realize that John is probably the clone of his father, but I want this on the record. You know, he is 26 years old. I don't see any of that stuff happening since he was a small child. But if he does have that problem, he is not a chip off the old block. So, ladies, if you listen to this show, I just want to make sure that's not something we have in common. Anyway.
I come on the air for
one show. I thought I called into the Ed Springsteen show. It sounds like the Howard Stern show now.
Yeah, we're the Howard Stern show now. But it is fascinating because we had all these deaths in 2012. We've got at least three people who died in custody. And quite honestly, the night I was arrested, I could have been the fourth. My blood pressure was that high. And quite frankly, that's why I was rushed to the hospital last Friday night and got to spend the weekend in the hospital. I had a heart attack. That's just the way it is. But, you know, we get into this stuff, though, and this is the problem. And this is one thing that we've talked about so many times is the failure of the correction system to do their job. Just because somebody is in jail, I mean, we're willing to give them pool tables, cable TV. We're willing to give them a law library. They get a law license they'll never use. But we can't take and spend money to make sure that they get proper medical care. For a woman like Miss Porter to be brought in there, she couldn't even stand up. Her legs were seeping a yellowish fluid. That's infection. Anybody knows that. And they propped her up on milk crates and pushed her across the floor to go through the booking process and throw her into jail for 27 hours and ignore her. That is preposterous. When you get somebody like, you know, Samantha George was another woman who died. She died. She was a severe diabetic, and they would not give her medical care. That's the disturbing thing to me. What is the value of human life?
There's a few things to play along with this in my head. When I think about stuff like this, I think about the fact that, A, the police force on the whole has been turning away people that have too high of an IQ. I've never heard of that in any other profession in my entire existence, that you're too smart for the job. I understand that there's a lot of mental stresses and things that go along with that for people that have a higher IQ. But they're essentially saying we don't want the smartest people involved in our jailing system. And another thing that goes along with that is a lot of these cops, they don't get fired anymore. They get moved. They get transferred. They beat somebody up. They get a paid vacation for a few weeks, call it a suspension, and they move somewhere else or they get a new job. So we don't know. You know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist to make presumptions that have no bearing. But given the state of the way things are with the police force as it is, I would have to say that some of these guys are some uneducated and angry guys who probably have some dings on their record. They're probably people who got moved there because they couldn't be out in the street, they couldn't be out in the public, so they keep them there at home so that they can't go out in the public, and they try to keep an eye on them, and they do things like this. Essentially I'm saying that some of these jobs are the end of the line, I think, for some officers.
I tell you, for starters, I mean, these guys, you know, to them it's just a job, you know, and I get that. Everybody just has a job. But what's really fascinating in this particular situation, though, is we had 12 people that died throughout 2012. That's one a month of people dying, you know, and at least these three, after being investigated and everything else, it is proven now beyond a reasonable doubt that, you know, corrections and the lack of medical care and all of that stuff, a forensic medical examiner came to the conclusion that this was all done because of neglect. These people had no reason to die. But fascinatingly enough, the Jefferson Commonwealth's attorney decided there were no criminal charges to be brought here. Now, how can we sit here and say that these guys did not do their job that resulted in three people dying and there's no criminal charges? If you go to your doctor, your personal doctor, and you're not in jail and your doctor does something that contributes to your death, he is legally responsible and liable. What is the difference here? That is the biggest concern for me is...
Well, I think that's an issue is whether it's criminal or civil. If it's not criminal, I guess the only defense, and to what John was saying, this is terrible, but if you're too dumb to realize that somebody is in this stress. If you're too stupid to figure it out, you're not really criminal. You're kind of really stupid. I mean, but it's like, if somebody had knowledge and they understood, like a paramedic was sitting there looking at you, he's got a degree and he understands it. But I guess the reason there's no criminal charges is because they're conceding that the personnel was so stupid that they could not have done it with intent. They're just dumb.
Here's the thing, though, because everybody has training. Every corrections officer, every police officer, all of them go through constant training to satisfy medical emergencies and things like that, to identify proper and get proper medical treatment. That's a given. If you go through the Louisville Metro Police Code of Conduct and the rules and regulations and everything they've got, these officers were supposed to, their own admission, they signed a piece of saying they were trained to, automatically take me to the hospital when I was complaining of pain and sweating and couldn't breathe. They didn't. Corrections was required to do this. They didn't. So we can't claim stupidity when you go through.
Well, they may have passed the test, but I think that's really the only defense they've got is stupidity, and it's raging stupidity too, because it's not like the jail is that far away from U of L Medical.
Oh, I agree. From
the emergency room, it's like, hell, they probably, in a lot of cases, drive right past it on the way in. It's like, look, take care of it, because...
I could tell you they do know the back part that went by it, but, it's just incredible to me that we come to this, that, these guys sign off on this. They go through annual training. They go through the remedial training, all this other stuff. They sign off on this, and they're too dumb or too stupid. No, what that tells me is they're too lazy. And if they're too lazy to do their job properly, and I've got to correct myself, too. There were 7 inmates that died in Metro Corrections in 2012, not 12 of them. But, if you're not doing your job, that's what you're hired to do. None of these guys were fired. None of these guys were taken off a daggone job. None of these guys suffered anything. Verizon, the medical, the independent medical people that are running, that were taking care of the medical in Metro Corrections in 2012, they just went ahead and went back to Tennessee. They didn't even re-up. They didn't want to re-up the contract. They never even applied for it. They just went back to Tennessee. So the hell with it.
I wonder if, and I don't know enough information on this to make a judgment, but I wonder if the medical staff, if those contractors bounce around from state to state so that they don't get malpractice suits against them, so that they don't have any repercussions. If you're moving from state to state constantly, a couple people die, you move. Oh, well, no big deal. A couple people die, you move.
Well, sure.
If you stay in one place and you set up shop and more people are dying and it's on your watch, then bullseye on your back. Then you can't keep making the money. So I think moving around for these private contractors, I think there's a lot of backroom deals, I would say, between the prisons, the jailers, and the medical staff, the contractors.
There's a ton of backroom dealing. That's how they get the contracts. This is a political show, though. Let's kind of move on to one other thing here, if we can get it in. There's a couple other things going on, but I found it interesting because I looked at a poll, another Survey USA poll. It was done for the Courier Journal, WHAS, and blah, 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 Leader, all that good stuff. It's actually showing Democrat Allison Lundigan Grimes holding a 4-point advantage over Senator Mitch McConnell in that race. What's interesting to me with that is because the poll does not include any other candidate besides those two people. And they do in the poll and say that Matt Bevin is losing to Mitch McConnell right now 55% to 29%. So, we all think it's be fairly clear that Mitch McConnell is probably going to win the primary, and Allison Lundigan Grimes may win her primary as well. But let's look at the reality here, though. Isn't there a third independent candidate in that race, Ed?
There's Ed Marshberry.
Thank you.
If he's lucky, he'll get his signatures to get in. But, I was reading a little on that poll myself, and the amazing thing, I don't know if I think it's funny, or it's kind of one of those things you laugh, but then you do a facepalm. Is that it's like 40% of the people don't know anything about Allison Lundigan Grimes.
I fall within that 40%.
Right.
I have no clue.
They don't know anything about her, but it's just like, okay, would you like Mitch or do you like a guy named Jack Mehoff or something like that. I mean, it's almost like a phone prank. It really is. It's just to sit there and say, well, oh, you favor Alison Lettergren Grimes? Can you? Are you aware of any of her policies? No, I just, who's running against Mitch? All right, I'm good with the other one. It's like, you know, oh, well, do we happen to tell you Joseph Collins' grandson is running against him? You know, it just amazes me that the voters, God, you know, that they would even admit that. So, I mean, talk about a sorry state of affairs. Like, you know, we don't know anything about this other person, but we hate this one guy so much that we'll vote for whoever they are. Like, oh, seriously?
That's what's happening. That's what's happened with politics now. It comes down to, it's been a matter of the lesser of two evils for a long time now. But now things have gotten so screwed up that Mitch McConnell, who has all this clout, remember, that's what everything was about in this last election. He has clout. And then he didn't do anything with it. Nothing good. You know, so what's happening with Mitch McConnell is exactly that. They want, somebody besides Mitch McConnell is running. Let's go with that. People are getting blinded by party politics and by they're eating the options that are being force-fed to them, not looking for more options. So that third-party candidate that you're talking about, he's not being noticed because he's not being sought out. People are so used to this normal of the change in the channel when the same candidates are on the screen. They're not delving any deeper to try to find out what's available and what's out there. So it makes it harder for that independent guy to get those signatures because the media doesn't even want to acknowledge them in the first place.
Well, I found it interesting, too, because this particular poll, 60%, roughly 61%, I guess, right at 61% of the people they polled were Democrats. Right at 39.5% were Republicans. The rest were Democrats. So, of course, because of the party politics, as John just pointed out, of course, Alison Lundgren Grimes is going to hold a four-point advantage when the majority of the pollsters are Democrats, and you're only including two people in the model. I think the demographics are going to change quite a bit, because I tell you, whether you like Ed Marksberry, whether you love Ed Marksberry, or whether you know anything about Ed Marksberry, Ed Marksberry is very instrumental in Democratic politics until the party decided to shaft him, and that's why he went independent for this race. And Ed Marksberry...
Yeah.
It was very instrumental in getting the governor, Steve Beshear, elected. So don't think this guy doesn't have votes. And if he's got votes, who's he going to pull them from? Democrats. That's what I hate about polls because of this kind of...
Well, and not only that, but it goes to show, you know, we talk about the party elites and stuff. You know, everybody says, I'll vote for the person, not the party, which this poll seems to indicate that that's pure bullshit. Because I think the Democrat Party knew this going in, and that's why they muscled Ed Marksberry out, because they knew whether it was going to be Ashley Judd, a little crazy, or whether it was going to be Alison Lundgren Grimes, who's going to sidestep every question, and her handlers will not take the lead harness off because they don't trust her to speak for more than 3 or 4 minutes in front of anybody.
Have you heard her talk?
They know they're putting a candidate out there that is basically, we shouldn't even call her Alison Lundgren Grimes. We should just call her anybody but Mitch, because that's basically what the Democrats are putting up there. She can raise some money. Her daddy knows the Clintons. Her daddy's loaded. And she's anybody but Mitch Grimes. She's not Alison Lundgren Grimes. She's anybody but Mitch Grimes.
You're absolutely right on that. And this just brings up another fascinating dynamic. I mean, you know, we continually talk about the electorate not getting involved and not getting informed, which, I mean, I guess we should be grateful, because if they were involved and informed, we wouldn't have much to talk about. They wouldn't need to hear from us telling them the other side. One other quick thing, and we're going to get into closing arguments because we're getting ready to run out of time. According to an article today, Huffington Post and stuff, and I don't even know where to start with this anymore. But, you know, because you're going to have – this is an election year, once again, midterm election. The Obama administration today granted the business groups another delay in the requirement for workers having to enroll in Obamacare. This is getting ridiculous. If one more concession that he just gave was that said that companies with 50 to 99 employees now don't have to live up to Obamacare until January the 1st of 2016. You know, again, you know, what the hell is going on? When does the president have the authority to do that without congressional approval when it comes to law?
I don't have anything to defend Obama on. Let's just say that to start. I'm not a person who's always had a rage against him, who's always been against him. I voted for him the first election. This last election, I abstained. It was two bowls of the same crap, and I didn't want either one of them. But when it comes to situations like this, the politics have taken over so far that no matter what he did, he was going to be wrong from jump. But then he started doing everything wrong anyway. You look at when he first took office, his entire platform went out the window. Had he actually lived up to any of his platform when he ran for office, I would be praising him for the liberal that everyone is calling him right now. He's nowhere near the liberal he ran on. And he threw his entire platform out the window, and everything he does, he says, we're going to do this, we're not going to back down on it. And then he kicks the can down the road six more months, a year, 2 years, whatever he can do. The same has happened with his health care. Had he actually taken a footing on any issue, taken a stand on any issue, be it closing Gitmo, bringing the troops home, any situation, any single situation where he said, I'm going to do something, had he actually had a backbone and followed through with any of this and found a way to do it, I would have a little bit more respect for him. But on this health care bill, he's again backpedaling to save his skin. Whether it's about saving his skin because of a mistake he made or saving his skin because of what he has been portrayed as, in either case, he's kicking the can down the road to the next election cycle to make it somebody else's problem, trying to take the pressure off of himself. He just wants to stay in office.
He's trying to take the pressure off the Democrats from losing the seats to Republicans. Go ahead,
exactly.
Ed.
Well, you know, I get back to it. To me, anymore, it's just funny. I hate to say it. I wish sometimes I could actually get angry about it, but I can't. It's funny because I remember when the Republicans were, you know, you remember it. The Republicans were saying, oh, Obamacare is terrible. You know, well, where's your idea? And then after it passed and they said they were going to do it, and the Democrats were like, oh, right, you know, this is our year. I said, well, don't be a wuss about it and, you know, just do it. Just do it all. It's just like a bar fight. Some guy's talking some smack in the bar. You just look at it and says, all right, enough talk. Let's do this. I remember telling the Democrats, you know what? I'm sick and tired of your talk. You say it's great. Do it. So to me, it's funny that I sit back and I think about all the Democrat and all my uber-liberal friends that I've had so many discussions with, and how many of them I just said, no, just nut up or shut up. Do it. And they're kicking the can down the road again. So I just look at it and say, yeah, okay. Oh, wait, here, look, let me put on my surprised look face, you know, start blossoms. It's like, seriously, either do it, you know, you're not going to do it. That's what it comes down to. They don't have the spine and the balls to do it because they know they half-assed a bill that Nancy Pelosi says we got to pass it to see what's in it. And then as everybody starts going through the thousands of pages of it, there's a whole bunch of oh, crap moments, whether it's from the unions or small business, or individuals with sky-high deductibles, or people losing their insurances, all these oh, crap moments coming out of this bill. And anymore, I'm loving it. I'm just sitting back watching it going, you political class, elite, arrogant bastards. You know what? Rushing through, they let the insurance sector write the bill, and they did. And now they're trashing policies, and the insurance company is going to make out like a bandit eventually. Right. But, yeah, good, okay. Nut up or shut up, and here they are. They're chucking their tails and running again. Leaders of the free world.
I can tell you this. Last Friday night, when these boys in this ambulance put me in the back of that thing and rushed me to the hospital, I was thanking God at that moment that I wasn't stuck with Obamacare. I can promise you that. But anyway, that's it for tonight. We are out of time. Ed, final thoughts.
Final thoughts, completely unpolitically related. It's getting way down into single digits again because I'm home and going to go take care of the horses. But, you know, take care of your animals. It's going to be another cold one. So, you know, you can't count on politics. They're not going to fix anything for you unless you're totally dependent on them. They're probably not going to screw anything up for you, but you sure as hell hold an animal's life in your hands the way you deal with it tonight. So be a good human being and take care of your animals.
Amen, brother. And John, as part of our show every night, we always have final thoughts for the co-host and all the hosts. So you got a minute. Go ahead.
All right. Kind of related. No matter what's going on right there, out there right now, the political world is getting crazier and crazier. The wealth inequality gap is getting worse and worse. I'm going to say something semi-unrelated. Invest in generators and solar panels and get your families together. Buy land. You know, stop this city consumerism. You know, do something to make yourself more self-sufficient. If there's any message that I could send to anybody out there right now, it's be as self-sufficient as you can be and stop listening to other adults tell you as an adult what's best for you.
I kind of agree with that. I tell you, you know, this guy's actually got me thinking about tearing a roof off my house and putting solar fans or something. I don't know what the hell he's calling all this stuff today. But anyway, here's the deal, folks. You could choose to be a victim of your environment, or you could change your environment and take control. It's always that simple. And that's the one thing we always preach on this thing. You have the unit party fully at work. You got a Democrat, you got a Republican, but there's no such thing anymore. It's one party, one rule, designed to keep you in the dark. Period. We're going to get into a lot more tomorrow night. But thank you so much for listening. Welcome, John, for with Network. If you guys are out there listening, if you want to, don't mind, send me an email at myviewmatters@AOL.com. I'd like to get a little feedback on old John, see if you guys like him or not. And if we don't, we'll just throw him out. We'll get somebody else. We don't care.
Hey, that's the free market, man. You don't bring the goods. You're done.
See, this ain't a union environment.
Yeah,
that's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, don't forget to get right back here with me and Ed and probably John. Until then, have a great night. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
You do the same. Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you, brother.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. Erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.